Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at RT.ie. And a reminder that tomorrow week, Friday, March 29th, you know there'll be other things on the agenda that day, and you will get them wall to wall between now and then. But what you will not get on March 29th, if you come to the Titanic Hotel in Belfast, you won't get much Brexit talk. We're doing a Funny Friday, our first time to do it in Belfast. We had a planned a long, long time, and the Titanic Hotel were only too happy to welcome us. Everyone is welcome. You don't need tickets, and it is free admission. Obviously, the numbers are limited to the accommodation, so to speak. But I'm told it's a big, big room and a big, big location. So that's the Titanic Hotel in Belfast. You're all welcome tomorrow week, and of course, we will hear it on your radio on that day. Let me bring in Trish Fogarty back to the issue that set the nation talking yesterday, which was, should people be checked when they're wearing pyjamas during the daytime? And it all began with a hairdresser in Portlaoise who's put up a sign saying nobody in pyjamas will get their hair done in this salon. Trish Fogarty, why, at the centre in Thurles, why were you prompted to put up the same sign?
We had a lot of our elderly customers were coming in and they were looking at people in their pyjamas all day. Now, it was all day, it wasn't just the mornings. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of a bit put out. And for them, it wasn't nice. And for the staff either, to be looking at someone in pyjamas all day, they were kind of didn't really like it either. So we made the decision, no pyjamas.
And why? Why? Like,
hygiene as well.
Hygiene, okay.
You know, you don't know how long someone has been in that pyjamas.
And remember, well, the caller yesterday who was in a garage in Ballybock in Dublin, and there was three young women in pyjamas at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And
yeah, we would have had them any time of the day. We open from 7 in the morning to 10:30 at night, and they would come in any hour of the day in a pyjamas.
Yeah, but surely there was 1 or 2 hours when...
You'd have people in every now and again coming in pyjamas.
At 5 or 6 in the afternoon?
Yeah, 5 or 6 in the afternoon. It could be 8 o'clock at night.
Well, 8 o'clock at night, they could be going to bed. 8 o'clock in the morning, they could be getting up. But 5 or 6 or 4 or 5
in the afternoon. They would be. They'd be in them at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Dressing gowns and all some days.
And like, what was their reaction when you checked
them? Well, we just said, look, we've made a call. We're not allowing pyjamas. And they said, fine, fair enough. Now, if you would still come in and you just say, look, we're just reminding you, we don't allow the pyjamas. And they say, oh, grand, that's fine. And they're grand about it. And then they know then the rule is there.
And have you seen people around Thurles, obviously not coming into your shop, but have you still people?
Oh, you'd see them going in around, yeah, you would. You'd see them in other shops in their pyjamas during the day.
And has any other shop banned them?
I don't know about other shops yet.
Okay. Has anyone said to you, you're interfering with their human rights?
No.
Okay, stay there, Trish. Jenny, good afternoon.
Hiya, Joe. How are you?
The great pyjama debate.
Yeah, the great pyjama debate. I don't get the hygiene angle at all. There's people walking around in the same clothes. Do they ask them to leave the shop? Personally, like, this hygiene thing, I don't get at all, where they're saying it's unhygienic to wear pyjamas. I know a lot of people wear them as day clothes.
Day clothes, yes. And why, Jenny, do they wear them as day clothes?
Because they're comfy. They're no different to a tracksuit. You just throw them on, especially if you're around home doing housework. Like, I'd often nip down the shop, the local shop. There wouldn't be an issue.
In your pyjamas?
But I mean, like, I'm fully clothed.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so there's no indecency or anything.
And have you seen people... What part of the country are you in?
I'm in Tipperary as well.
Oh, Tipperary, where are you? And have you seen people in supermarkets in their pyjamas?
I would, yeah. I'd see a lot of... It'd be the younger girls now would come in with the pyjamas and the dressing gowns. And to be honest with you, I think it's just a kind of a cultural thing amongst them. The same as the youth, previous youth, that we had mods, we had punks, we've had... You know, it's a cheap kind of fashion statement.
And if you saw a sign up, and as there is one up now in the centre in Thurles, saying no pyjamas in here, how would you react?
Well, I just think that they've got a bit of a stick stuck up their bum. You know, to be honest with you, like, pyjamas, really.
Trish?
Well, a lot of our customers that are coming in when they saw the sign were delighted. They said they're delighted when they saw it. Like, a pyjamas is for bed. That's
but
what you go into any
drapery
shop. Where will you buy a pyjamas? In the bed section. You don't buy them in with the tracksuits. You don't buy them in with the clothes you wear every day. They're in the bed section.
Well, in fairness,
pyjamas
now,
is for bed.
We've come a long way since the flannel pyjamas.
Wear your tracksuits in shops. Wear your tracksuits at home. That's fine.
Yeah, but Jenny,
pyjamas is a pyjamas, which is always has been for your bedroom.
But Jenny, you said who wears pyjamas in bed? Most people.
No, they don't.
Yes,
No, they don't, for God's sake.
And what do they wear in bed?
Well, like, it's a personal choice what you wear in bed.
Pyjamas is really are designed for, that's why they're called pyjamas, they're for your bedroom.
Well, I'd say that's very unhygienic now to be wearing them all night in bed and you're getting all hot and sweaty.
That's our point. From the shop's point. From
that's
the customers
what I mean.
Looking
people
at people coming in. Because you don't know if that person has been in that pyjamas in bed and then they've come into the shop.
Jenny, you're
that's
saying...
That's where the issue was coming.
But Jenny, is your theory that people sleep naked and get up in the morning and put on the pyjamas and go to the shop?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah. It seems like it's just day wear. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no one... I'm middle-aged, and, who's stuffy enough to be wearing pyjamas in bed?
Who's stuffy enough to be wearing pyjamas in bed?
Pyjamas in bed, yeah, seriously.
And so you think anyone who wears pyjamas in bed is what?
No, I don't, but I don't, if you're wearing your pyjamas in bed all day,
all night,
and then you're wearing them as outerwear during the day, that is unhygienic.
Yeah,
don't think many people, you're just making the assumption people are wearing them.
You say the sign should read, if those pyjamas you're wearing, you wore them, you slept in them last night, please do not come into my shop.
Yeah, and I think, we all know people that wear the same clothes day in, day out.
Okay.
You know.
And I presume from what you're saying, you're in the camp that doesn't wear pyjamas.
No, I don't wear pyjamas.
Okay.
And neither does my husband.
Okay, well, that's enough information.
There you are now.
That's allowed. That's allowed.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Allowed. Okay. Let me bring Mick in. Mick, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
The landlord in your local pub.
Yeah, he was, well, he doesn't own it anymore. He's moved on now. I think he's passed away, actually.
Okay.
But he sold up. But when we used to frequent the pub, he actually regularly appeared in his pyjamas and dressing gown. And not just in his pyjamas and dressing gown. He'd have his false teeth in a glass behind the bar.
So he'd be behind it. He's walking because he lived upstairs. Is that it? Yeah.
He lived upstairs, yeah.
And did you ever see him in a suit? or a jacket or a wraparound apron or anything that a barman might wear?
Yeah, from time to time. He wasn't always in his pyjamas, but quite a lot of the time.
Okay, the barman at the bar owner would be more often in his pyjamas than out of them, as far as you could see.
Yeah. We actually threatened to steal his false teeth on him because we had a dart club at the time and the pub wasn't doing that well. On reflection, it wasn't doing that well.
On reflection, I know why. If you're looking at a set of false teeth in a pint glass and you're asking for a pint.
But we were hoping he'd buy a new dartboard for us because the one he had was worn out, but I don't think he had enough money for us, you know. It's hard to know which is which, whether he went around in his pyjamas because he was probably a bit not feeling too positive because the money wasn't coming in, or whether it was the other way around, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
But It was a cosy pub, like there was a nice firelight in it and that kind of thing.
By the way, if a customer came in his pyjamas,
oh, he wouldn't have a problem serving them at all.
Absolutely.
I actually think that people are getting a bit too hung up on that. I mean, as regards pyjamas being clean or dirty or all the, or, you know, if somebody comes in after being digging the road and it's a hot summer's day and they're hot and sweaty, entirely clothes, are they going to refuse them? You know. Are they going to refuse to serve them?
Trish, thanks, mate. Trish.
There's no issue with anyone coming in like that. But, like, you're going into a shop. Would you like if staff members were in the shop wearing their pyjamas all day?
Would I like the staff members
wearing
them all day?
Would you, if you came in to work, would you like if staff members were in behind the counter not wearing uniforms and were all wearing pyjamas? How do you think it would look to customers looking at staff in pyjamas?
No, it's more to do with the customers coming in. If customers come in and they come in in their pyjamas, I'm thinking it's a deal. I may not like the look of it, but I'm not going to refuse to serve them because of
it. We've never refused anybody. We have served them. We have never refused.
What would you say to them, Trish? Don't come back again.
We don't say don't come back again. We've said, we just would prefer if you weren't in pyjamas or dressing room.
Okay.
And they go, that's fine, no bother at all. And they're back.
Okay, John.
And they come back the following day and they're not in a pyjamas.
Okay, stay there for a sec, Trish. John, good afternoon.
How you doing, Joe?
The local school.
Yeah, well, I was on the board of my management in a local school in Dublin, and we saw it was kind of a creeping thing that some parents were arriving up with their children in their pyjamas. That's the parents, not the children. It was seen that it was kind of would bring the school into dispute, and so we decided to nip it in the bud. So the board of management has taken the decision that the principal would have a word in the ear of the people who are arriving up in the pyjamas.
And the angle we
took was that it's respect. It's respect for your children, it's respect for yourself, and it's respect for the school. And now, if someone arrived up in work overalls, of course they'd be allowed in, because that shows a good ethos. Someone's getting up for work. This was a desk school, a disadvantaged school. So anyone arrived up in work uniforms, of course they were let in. But people just arriving in their pyjamas, it gave a wrong tone about
the
school.
And what formula of words did you advise the principal to use?
The great thing is the ethos of the school is respect. So you have the students have respect for the teachers, and the teachers have respect for the pupils and the parents. So it was out of respect for the other students in the school, for the other parents who make an effort to get dressed in the morning.
What reaction did the principal get?
It wasn't an epidemic problem. And people, they could see the point that school, we're trying to have standards. So they could come up in the pyjamas to the school gate if they wished, but they weren't allowed on the school property. And it was all... The problem then dissolves, if you know what I mean.
Did you put up a sign or...?
No. Okay. It was done discreet, more discreet than that, but it was nipped in the bud, and the school became, you know, the school had standards, and people, parents arriving up, you know, we had a strict rule for the school kids to have a school uniform, and we just thought it was unfair to have the kids make sure they're all neat and tidy in a school uniform when the mums... It was never a man, by the way, when the mums rock up looking like they'd escaped from their mental home.
Joe, can I ask, was it just pyjamas that were refused by the school? Like, if somebody came up in, a Mohican hairstyle, the collector child or something like that?
No, it was
just pyjamas.
That was an issue. It was about having respect for the school, and also if someone arrived up, you know, which I don't think it happened, but you wouldn't be allowed to collect your kids if you were under the influence of drugs or alcohol. And again, it was about having respect
obvious,
for the
that's
students.
An obvious one.
And a respect for the students and a respect for the school. But as I say, once the parents who were told about it, they stopped doing it, and the problem just dissolved.
But John, it's too small. I presume people wouldn't do it. They wouldn't throw on something over their pyjamas.
Once
the pyjamas weren't visible. Okay, let me bring it.
Once it's not visible, or the dressing gown wasn't visible, just as long as they looked like a person who was, ready to face the day in a positive way.
But John, some people aren't ready to face the day in a positive way, unfortunately, through no fault of their own.
Well, if you can't put on a pair of clothes It's a different issue. And also, we had a home school liaison officer who was very good at tackling that type of situation.
I understand that. That's well dealt with. Arthur Rainbow. Arthur, good afternoon.
Hi, Joel. How you doing?
Good. The great pyjama debate.
Yeah, it's given me great fun. My sister rang me from Belfast yesterday to listen in because I owned a salon in Newbridge and Kildare for many years.
Yeah.
And we had many people coming in their pyjamas at different times of the day, generally spotlessly clean, because they're going to a function or something, so they've been getting themselves ready. And I just think it's a pure snobbery thing. I saw it in the salon with certain kind of people that would look down their nose at people in pyjamas, and it's a society kind of thing or society.
The debate yesterday was started by another hair salon who have banned people in pyjamas.
Yeah.
And the people in the pyjamas, I didn't know it had spread to Newbridge, but the people in the pyjamas, the customers in the pyjamas in Newbridge, where did they keep their money? Or their mobile phone? Or their money?
Well, generally they would have like a nightgown on over their pyjamas, they'd have a pocket, they'd have a handbag. You know, they're just good, respectable people that are just being pinpointed, I suppose, because that's what they're into, and you know their families do that. They're always very respectful, very clean. I would actually have more problem with people coming in not washed that throw on a dirty tracksuit.
Okay, let me bring in Paul O'Callaghan. Paul, thanks, Arthur Rainbow.
Thank you.
Paul O'Callaghan.
Sure, how are you doing?
Good. Your father insisted.
Well, my father was a GA man, and I was very lucky in 1975 to get a run in the Tipperary team.
Okay, good man.
And the motor transport at that time left Waterford, and they brought two players from Waterford. They came to Carrick and Shore then. I was collected, and then on to Kilsheelan, where James Kehoe, and we went from there on to Turlough.
Okay.
But the scenario was, my father said, you're going up there with a collar and with a shirt and tie on you. You're not going to leave us down. Now, at that time...
To a training session?
To a training session, yes. Yeah, I'm serious, yeah. And I went with it, and I never thought anything of it. But in that era, I had a lot of brothers in England, you know, with immigration and that, and they were working in London. And of course, they used to come home every 6 months, and they'd dress up to the last, down to the church, and up to the front of the church to show, you know, I'm dapper and I'm the man, like, you know. So monkey see, monkey do, and I was used to that, like, you know. But one of the brothers married into an English family.
Okay.
And they related to me in years afterwards that when they came to Ireland to visit their relatives, they wouldn't look at the Irish girls up to the mid-60s. But when the country, the mass area took off, the clothes improved, the girls started looking better, and they found the Irish girls every bit good-looking as the English girls. You know, so clothes do make a difference, Joel, like, you know.
Yeah, are you still a snappy dresser, Paul?
I wouldn't be bad now. My wife was a good eye for the clothes, and I like it myself too, yeah.
Okay. And in your work, did you have to wear clothes or uniform?
Uniform, yeah.
Okay.
And I never minded the uniform as such. I never minded the tie. I was lucky like that. I didn't mind the tie. But then it's against that now, Joe. We have to be fair to people that are like that. They can be very articulate and intelligent people too. So, you know, you have to I'd be sort of...
Where did you work?
I worked in the prison service, Joe.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, are the inmates allowed, prisoners allowed wear pyjamas during the day in prison?
No, Joe. Well, they might come out for their breakfast, but I think most times they would. In my area, I think they were wearing, some of them were, used to come out for the breakfast, but then the rest of the day you would see them in their clothes, like, you know.
But if you saw them at lunchtime in their pyjamas, is that allowed?
In our era, we didn't take much notice because it wasn't done much, Joe, to be honest with you.
In other words, was it against? Would you get a half docket and be sent to the governor's parade the next morning? No. But your memory, Paul, is that in the main, prisoners do not wear pyjamas during the day.
In my era, you did not really see that much.
Did you enjoy your lifetime in the prison service?
Yes, I did, Joe. Yeah.
Well done on your service and all who do it. Thanks, Mick. Paul O'Callaghan, Trish Fogarty, Arthur Rainbow. Back before we finish to more pyjama stories. Martin O'Malley. Martin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Well-known filmmaker in various different films. The movie Da, the great Hugh Leonard, wrote it, but he also appeared in it. What happened to Hugh Leonard? He lived in Dalkey, didn't he?
And he probably did it at some, drove down his brand new Lexus to the news agent, left the car running,
Sitting
in his pyjamas, did his business, and when he returned, the car was gone.
And him and his jams.
I think he had to walk home and that his house keys were actually on the same ring as the car keys. So he had two problems.
And who starred as the Hugh Leonard character?
Sheen played Charlie.
Oh, Martin Sheen, name. Yes.
And Bernard Hughes played the dad.
He also played
it on Bob.
So Martin Sheen played Hugh Leonard, basically, didn't he, really?
It's
about himself being adopted and all that. And was Hugh Leonard in that movie himself?
He played the part of the pallbearer in Dean's Grange Cemetery on Sunday morning, because I don't think there was any funerals on Sundays in those days.
Okay, if you look back on it, you can spot it. Okay, Martin, let me go to Paddy McCaughey. Sorry for holding you there, Paddy. Thanks, Martin O'Malley. Paddy, your pyjama story.
How are you, Joe? Brought back memories. Just talking about pyjamas from many years ago. I was down in the west of Ireland.
Yeah.
We were bringing down a couple of Americans down. They were staying over, but they wanted to stay in the west. So I went out. It was midweek and went into a pub, as you do. And the next thing, a couple of musicians came in. And the pub wasn't noted for music, but a great session started. And it was really one of those impromptu sessions you simply couldn't plan. It was marvellous. And time went on and on. And each tune was better than the last, and each song was better than the last. So before we knew it, it was 3 o'clock.
Okay.
The pub itself was directly opposite the guard station.
So there's a knock-knock.
There's a knock on the door. The guard comes in his uniform and his hat, and he starts taking names. And the owner of the bar was a man, a very upright man, wouldn't have broken the law in any way and never really ran in a late house. And he was arguing with the guard. And the more he was arguing, the guard was saying, listen, you can hear it on the street. It woke me up. But as he was kind of moving, the pyjamas underneath his uniforms, underneath his blues, came down. And somebody pointed them out to him. He started laughing. And he went around taking names then, and eventually one of the Americans said, you're from California. I said, oh, sick it. And he said, California. And he looked down and he knew we were laughing at his pyjamas shown at the bottom of his trousers. So he said to the owner, I'll give you 5 minutes. And the owner was just about to say, give you a chance to change your pyjama. He didn't, fortunately. And he went out. So pyjamas saved me from getting...
I'm over time, Paddy. That's the only problem. I say it's not the first time I've seen. Sorry, and is a Samaritan call you want to put out quickly, Paddy?
I know, really quick, just a complete mad coincidence. Marty O'Malley is one of my greatest old friends.
I haven't spoken
to him in years.
Okay, well,
we're in school together.
If you want to be in touch, just tell us off air. Martin O'Malley, that's Paddy McCaughey saying hello to you. Do you remember
Paddy?
How long is it since you've seen each other?
A long time. We've been in touch on Facebook, but it's a long time since we had a cup of coffee together.
Okay, will you organise that, please? Well done, Paddy and Martin. 51551 continues, as does joe@rt.ie. Hugh Ormond producing. Ray Darcy is next.